Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Magnum Opus podcast. Now, after my last interview with the wonderful Mara Gallagher, I had nothing but compliments and questions regarding the camp again. People were so enthused to learn about the camp from a faculty director that I decided we have to do it again. So I got the wonderful opportunity to reach out to the most amazing Daryl Silberman, who has been a longtime supporter of Opus and a phenomenal musician. So I'm super excited to welcome Daryl Silberman to the show today. Thank you so much for joining, Daryl. Let's roll right on in. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in Opus?
Hey, Drew. Thanks so much for having me. I love the mop. The mop is fantastic. So, I have been in the western suburbs of Chicago in the Aurora, Naperville area for about the past 8 years. And I had made some connections with some of the local teachers. One of them is Mr. Dana Green, and he took a year off of Opus at one point. I think this was 5 summers ago, and he gave my name to the incredible Dr. Yu, and she contacted me and told me all about the camp. And I have done a lot of other chamber camps and youth music camps, and I just was captivated with the mission and vision. And it also happened to hit that incredible year 5 years ago where there was a big celebration and all the faculty played together on the Wentz Hall stage.
Oh, wow.
It was really cool. So I not only got to be involved with the wonderful craziness that is a week-long chamber music camp with Opus, but I also had the incredible opportunity to play with all of the faculty, which was amazing.
That would definitely rope me in. Just playing with the incredible experience of everybody.
Yeah.
So speaking of playing and performing, a question on everybody's mind since the world turned virtual is how Opus manages to still provide a chamber music experience while being virtual.
Yeah. So I think in March of last year, we shut down, and the conversations among a couple of the faculty members was, can we do something online? And actually, I had been talking to some other colleagues through the school that I work at about trying to do an online camp. I'm like, I think we can do this. We can provide material. We can connect with our students over Zoom or something, and we can get people playing at home and in loving music, and it's not graded and there's not a test. It's just an opportunity to play. And I couldn't get my educator friends to hop on board, but Opus did. And it was so exciting to work with Amanda Fenton and Mara Gallagher and Kathy Kuna and Linda Yu. We sat around together and virtually and talked about what do we need. How can we get people playing? So I had this brilliant idea. My husband is a performer and a chamber musician and an educator, and he was writing this incredible music all last year. He was taking full symphonies and reducing them down into string orchestra work. So he would take a Beethoven symphony, which has winds and brass and percussion and strings, and he was reducing them into 5-part orchestral works. And he's like, He was doing this using a digital audio program, like he was a notation software. And then he had paid a bunch of money for a plugin that makes digital sounds sound very real. So these symphony sounds were coming out of his studio. And I'm like, wait, what if we take chamber music, duet, trio, quartet, quintet, and we just simply put it into his software. So we literally input it into Sibelius, which is one of these digital notation softwares. And then he assigns sounds that are real symphonic sounds. And the result was that for all of the groups that had remote members, Danny had created a score that sounded like real musicians playing and could be done at any tempo. So we could do like a working tempo and a final tempo. And these ended up, we call them rolling scores. They ended up being the temporary tracks that everyone rehearsed to, recorded to, and worked with. So that was last summer. And boy, there were a whole bunch of bumps in the road. And I had just done some work on a webinar for Conn-Selmer. And so I knew some of the webinar side of it. And, Amanda Fenton was so good at working with students. She worked on the student communication side of it. I kind of worked on the IT side of it, like telling people, here's the stuff you need, the microphone you need, the program you might need, the computer requirements. And Kathy Kuna knew so much about how to train the faculty on how to work remotely. So we put all these amazing minds together. And last year, in my opinion, was a great success. And then this year, as a friend of mine, an Ann Arbor a teacher, his name is Jonathan Glave, and he has been telling everybody he knows, and he's a pretty influential guy, you got to try this program called Upbeat. Upbeat, says I. What is this? So I've actually started working with it. It's freaking amazing. I can go in with up to 15 people. So like, you know, me wow. and three of my students. And we can say, okay, we're going to work on our piece and we're going to play it at this nice set metronome. You can't really do slowdowns and, well, you can later on. We'll be able to do it this summer. But like just for the free version of it, like, okay, let's play our duet at quarter note equals 120. So we can talk. It's like a video platform on your computer. You don't even have to use Zoom. So we talk about, okay, we're going to do it at 120. So then everyone goes at the same time and goes and records their music. And then this program, like magic, puts all the videos together. And then if you like it, you can download it. So it turns out that there's a professional version of it where we can put temporary tracks in and you can, you know, do it wearing your all black. And we're going to end up making performance. We're going to use this program, hopefully, next summer for both rehearsal and performance videos. It's going to rock the boat. It's going to be so much fun.
That okay. There was so much in that answer that I just need a minute to digest. That's absolutely phenomenal. First of all, I had no idea that your husband was taking entire symphonies and reducing them down. That is amazing and a ton of work. We have to thank him for that. And then putting the idea behind the rolling scores, I remember that from last year's Opus. Huge success, like you were saying. But you're right, there were some technical issues and it was just hard to get everybody involved. So this new program, Upbeat, just from that short conversation we had, it has me equally excited. Absolutely. But, you know, it seems like a lot of work for all of this. So my next question for you, what are some advantages to attending a chamber music camp? What makes it worth all this work?
What makes it worth all this work? Well, Drew, if I were on an island... if I was on an island for the rest of my life and mm-hmm. a chest floated up onto the beach and I wedged my makeshift shell knife into the side of the chest and I opened up the chest and inside that was either solo music, chamber music, or symphony music for the rest of my life, I would choose chamber. Chamber music is the perfect way to become an independent musician, a collaborative musician. It's a democracy. Everybody's opinion matters. Yeah. Everybody's playing matters. You learn, you react, you enjoy. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just got chamber music to me has all of the stuff in it that makes human life worth living.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I like that answer. Chamber music has everything wrapped up into one little ball of a lot of work, but incredible reward. Everything that makes human life worth living.
Yep.
So my next question for you, I feel like you already answered, but I'll ask it anyway. You are obviously an experienced performer. And for those of you who didn't know, my favorite little fun fact about Daryl is that she was involved in a music video for Guns N' Roses, the old rock band. And I, it still blows my mind that she was part of one of their.
Who you calling old?
Sorry,
classic rock band.
The classic rock band. There, that's a perfect. That's much better. I'll just retake that there. The classic rock band Guns N' Roses. But so clearly, you've played in small ensembles. Clearly, you've played in large ensembles. And clearly, you've played absolute loads of solo music. So chamber versus full symphony, what are the pros and cons to playing in a small ensemble? And you've kind of already answered this one, so I can ask you, do you have a favorite size ensemble to perform in?
Yeah. Well, just a quick story is that I started playing when I was 4 and a half, and I took private lessons the whole way through. And then I was in a chamber orchestra from the time I was 8 until I was 17 for 10 years as a kid. And that chamber orchestra, that's how I got to go to Europe the first time, the summer after my senior year of high school. And I loved playing in orchestra music. Where I grew up was right next to the Stanford University, and I got to play in their symphony when I was a senior in high school. Got to play Brahms and Tchaikovsky and all this sort of stuff. So I played full symphony. I played solo. And when I was a senior in high school, I applied to go to college. My dad lived in Colorado, so I was considered an in-state resident. So I applied to the University of Colorado at Boulder in the science department. I was going to go become a nuclear scientist. So,
oh my gosh.
but at somewhere on my PSAT or something, I had probably jotted down that I played viola. And so the music department contacted me and said, do you want to take an audition? And so I was like, I don't know, I've been playing for a million years, I might as well take an audition. And lo and behold, they must have really needed violas badly, because they offered me a full ride scholarship.
Whoa!
To play in one of their string quartets for the university.
Okay.
And one of the magic things that happened there, so I did double major for the one semester, but then when it came down to choosing whether or not to look at the lab that needed to be finished at the end of the semester or practice for my jury, I chose practicing. So I dropped the science major and I stuck with music. But one of the amazing, you know how a little magic happens in life. A young string quartet from Hungary had come over that year, 1986, to University of Colorado. They were called the Takash String Quartet. My teacher, Dénes Koromzai, who was one of the original violists in the Hungarian String Quartet back a hundred years ago, he had worked with the university to pull this young group that was on the rise. Takash String Quartet is incredible. They're still performing today. I had no clue, but at the time I was working with, being in this scholarships quartet, I got to work with one of the world's premier string quartets coming over to the University of Colorado Boulder. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So like basically I poured my heart and soul into being a violist in a string quartet. I loved it more than life itself.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to call you back, and I need you just, you're going to have to explain everything that just happened in that sentence too. World-class ensemble from Hungary studying with world-class musicians. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. There's a lot more to unpack of your life than we have in this short little podcast here. And that is a big regret of mine, but thank you so much for sharing, Daryl. Oh my gosh. One thing. So you've kind of set yourself up for this question, and we're all expecting it to be good now because of your incredible background here. We always like to end our show by asking faculty, TAs, everyone I can get my hands on the exact same question. Give us your favorite practice tip. And it could be anything you can think of. If it's something that's a practice tip or something you like to do every time you warm up, anything like that.
It's not the time you spend, it's the quality. If you spend the time proud of what you're doing, that's the time that matters. Quick story, University of Colorado Boulder, I had the opportunity to do a bunch of performing and playing and practicing. And I decided my britches were too big for that small conservatory. And I went to the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. I get to the San Francisco Conservatory of Music my junior year, and the people there, they weren't human. They practiced 8 10, 12 hours a day.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, what the heck are these people practicing so much for? They were not human. You couldn't look them in the eye. They didn't know how to have a conversation. All they did was practice. And I went back to the University of Colorado because there were humans. Practice what you need to practice to get better. Set your goals. It doesn't have to be 7 hours. It can be 10 minutes. The goal is to love what you're doing and be proud of what you're doing and get better. Be the best musician you can be and make your practice align with that. You're not feeling it in one particular day? Go play some rock music. You're feeling like you really want to dig in on some Tchaikovsky? Then set that goal. I'm gonna nail this one measure. That's my goal. I'm gonna set it and I'm gonna attain that. So to me, it's not the time, it's the quality.
Daryl, that is awesome. And it's definitely a tip that I think more people should really hear and not enough people say. And especially too, you talked a little bit about, not really about burning out, but if you want to play something different, you can play something different and that's okay. It's all about keeping the love to music. Well, Daryl, I really want to thank you again for the time that you took out of this and for the incredible answers that you gave and for all of the explosions in my head going on right now for your past. That's absolutely incredible. So thank you again. And for everyone out there, stay tuned next week for another especially special guest star. I cannot wait for you to hear what's going on. But join us next time. Stay tuned, everybody.
Bye.